Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and I would like to invite the children to come forward to help with the message for today. All are invited. So I have a nice silver box with me. Does anybody know what a time capsule is? Yeah. Put something in it and you wait a really long time, and then you dig it up to see what was there, right? When we were at the assembly yesterday, we got a time capsule. We got this water that we brought out of it, but everybody got a time capsule, and there were some things in here. Well, I really kind of want to ask you what we ought to put in, but here is a picture of, well, it's really faint, but that's a picture of a rose. It's a symbol for Luther. So they thought, we'll put that in there to remind us of Martin Luther. Here are some spring squash. I don't think we'll leave those. We better plant those, I think. Yes. Then there's also Luther's small catechism. So maybe we'll put one of those in. So how many years should we bury it, by the way? 10? Somewhere between 10 and 1,000, yes. So we'll put Luther's catechism just in case. Now, the bishop kind of joked with us that don't put all the catechisms in there. So what else should we put in our capsule? Can you think of something that would be good that would tell people 10 years or maybe 100 years? Gosh, what? Baptismal water? That would be good, yes. Remind us of the promises of baptism. What else could we put? Yeah. Like the Holy Communion. It may get a little old after 10 or 100 years, but yes. A small cross? Yes, that would be a very good thing. All these things that remind us of the God who created us. We heard the creation story. The God who loves us in Christ Jesus. And then the God who binds us all together as one by the Holy Spirit. So we give thanks for our faith today. We confess our faith today. And we'll have to think about where to bury this. And maybe as we go forward, I'll ask you to bring some things. So why don't we gather together for a prayer before we... You guys go on back, so come on around. Dear God, we thank you that your care for us is eternal, more than 10 years, more than 100 years, more than 1,000 years, and that you give us life in your name, in your actions of love and forgiveness toward us, and in your Holy Spirit that binds us all together as children of God. Bless us this day and help us be a blessing to the world. Can you all say amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you all. How can I keep from singing? You may recognize this as a refrain from a song. I had a hard time remembering what the first line was, but I just had to go to the choir and ask. And I think we sang it maybe even last week or a couple weeks ago. My life flows on in endless song. How can I keep from singing? Number 763 in your hymnal, but I got to say, way up higher in your hearts, right? At least in mine, anyway. But that was the first line I heard yesterday as I walked into with our delegates from the assembly into our final worship at Atonement Lutheran Church in Overland Park, Kansas. And they had about a half hour's worth of prelude music. That was one of the things that was sung. The first lines I heard, how can I keep from singing? And they just struck me as very inspirational and as a way to confess the faith in the triune God. How can I keep from singing? Well, I was thinking, how can we keep from singing? At the time, I was thinking to myself, the Cardinals have lost 7 in a row. the night before, they'd squeaked one out. But still, not much singing there, right? But to get past the sports page, so many jarring messages that we see on the paper or on our phones or wherever that we hear from others, so many difficult communications in our world and our country, so much violence that we read about on our streets, too much terror in our cities, and then also even in our hearts. So many people at odds with one another. Valerie and I talked to several psychiatrist friends that we know. Not that we need them or anything, although maybe. But we learned very quickly that there's not a whole lot of singing going on. If you talk to folks that are working in the helping community, of conversation, the question is more, how can I keep from being so enraged? How can I keep from being depressed or fearful? These are the emotions, the states of mind, which seem to have power over us these days, or shall we say, to use some of the terminology of Scripture today, have authority over us. What do we have to sing about? Let alone, what is there to sing about that we cannot keep from singing about? Well, today is Trinity Sunday, with an obvious emphasis on the Creed, which speaks of the Trinity. But I gotta confess, Athanasian Creed. Can we say all that? Well, no. So I go to the Nicene, but I gotta say, I'm still not finding that much joy in the creeds. Whether I thought about making this confession to God, or sometimes we think, we're making it to one another. We're stating our faith. Or even to encourage my own faith life. These days, the creeds themselves, I think, can become a source of conflict. How can we keep from singing, though? I took my second inspiration from the gospel lesson today, the very last line, when we remember that God is with us. I think it's a great way for Matthew to end the gospel lesson, because it's not just an ending, really. It's an eternal beginning. Remember, I am with you always. That's really God's confession, God's promise, God's singing to us. So it suggests that these confessions that we have aren't just kind of going one way. They're dialogical. They're experiential. They're relational. So the point isn't really, how do we figure out 3 and 1 and 1 and 3? But it is rejoicing in that God is present with us for life, always. Let our celebration, our words of confession, of the creed, be like singing, a dialogue, a conversation with God, singing also that we will be with you to the end of the age that you promise us. That is our faith and trust. So that despite the fact that our confessions maybe arcane in some instances, maybe dated, perhaps we could use a new one or two. We are, as we gather this day expressing an eternal connection, a clinging, a singing about the ways God communicates, sings with us, that we hear and respond to God's invitation and gift of life. The creeds are living when we are in this dialogue with God and the God of promises and of life. We are connected, confess, and sing the Creator through our connection to the creation, to the earth. This connection, it isn't abstract, which I think the creeds make us think sometimes, but it is rooted in the very earth itself, in the very stuff of which we are created. And confessing, we are called to care for this earth, called to lift up life, to pass life along, maybe to put a little in the box, or at least in a sense in our hearts, so that there really is something out of which we can dig up in 100 years or 1,000 years. It's important to pass this life along, to be in relationship with the earth itself, our home, with the very elements of which we have been made. It was encouraging, I think, as we gathered at the assembly, that we did make a deep confession. It took place in the ELCA's assertion, confession, if you will, that we are still in, to use the word, humanity's commitment to environmental health, to life itself, in this case, in the form of being still in, from the ELCA's perspective, the Paris Climate Agreement, the words we happened to use then. How can we keep from singing? When we speak of Jesus, what we remember is the way he is with us always. That he is not only present with us in the creation of life, but when we are overcome by these emotions of fear or anger, when we are overcome by death or brokenness, we remember in our hearts that Jesus bore these things on the cross. That is, in his death and resurrection, he did not end the craziness that we in the world experience, but that he broke its power and authority over us. That we come through these things with Christ clinging to us for life. That God is with us for life, even life eternal, through forgiveness, through continual dialogue, through the promises, and then through our own sending to be living words, to be living water. That the God of creation and Jesus, who came to bring life, we sing resurrection life in the world. One confession, again, made at the assembly was a commitment to move forward in supporting refugees and undocumented folks, to stand with the lost who have no home, no place. Is this not the authority which we have in Christ Jesus? All authority is given to Christ in heaven and earth. Is this not the authority to give life? With the children, we sing of the Holy Spirit, for we are gathered by the Spirit, who is God's own voice and singing and expression to bring us together into unity of life. We are in dialogue. We sing. We confess, if you will, that Spirit. When we gather here in this place among one another, or when we gather in assembly with the whole church, we sing, sometimes discordantly, but we sing of a broader unity. At our closing worship, we began with greetings and confessions of our dialogue and connection and together with one God. In our chancel at Atonement yesterday were Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, Orthodox, and any number of Protestant partners with expressions of faith and unity. How can we keep from singing? Today, we sing and gather together because God is with us in Christ Jesus, in spirit, and sending us, uniting us, calling us to be living words. For that is our true confession to all who long to sing, who long to live. How can we keep from singing? Amen.